भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 31 and Text number 29,
4.31.29. Vidura Vacha Soyam Adya Mahayogin भवता करुणात्मना दर्शितस्तमसः पारो यत्र किञ्चन गौहरी विदुरा उवाच सोऽयम् अद्य महायोगिन् भवता करुणात्मना दर्शितस्तमसः पारो यत्र किञ्चन गोहरी विदुरा उवाच सोऽयमद्य महायोगिन् भवता करुणा आत्मना दर्शितस्तमसः पारो यत्र किञ्चन गोहरी
Vidura uvacha, Vidura said, Sa, that, I am, this, Adya, today, Mahayogin, O great mystic, Bhavata, by you, Karuna Atmana, most merciful, Darsita, I have been shown, Tamasaha of the darkness. Para, the other side. Yatra, where? Akinchanaga, approachable by the materially free. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by Sri Divine Krishna Prabhupada ki. Sri Vidura said, O great mystic, O greatest of all devotees, by your causeless mercy, I have been shown the path of liberation from this world of darkness. By following this path, a person liberated from the material world can return home back to Godhead. Purport, Mashla Prabhupada. Very small purport, yeah? This material world is called Tamaha, dark, and the spiritual world is called light. The Vedas enjoin that everyone should try to get out of the darkness and go to the kingdom of light. Information of that kingdom of light can be attained thoroughly. No. Information of that kingdom of light can be attained through the mercy of the self-realized soul. One also has to get rid of material desires. As soon as one frees himself from material desires and associates with a liberated person, the path of home back to Godhead is clear. Om Ajnati Virandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desa Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so here we see that Maitreya Muni is describing the activities of the Prachetas to Vidura. And we are coming to the end of this chapter. There's only a couple of verses left. And for that matter, we are actually coming to the end of Canto 4. No? In these two verses, we'll conclude Canto 4 and go to Canto 5. So, in my previous class, I was saying, you know, that previous to this chapter, when the Prachetas had done austerity, severe austerity, and pleased the Lord appeared in front of them and gave them certain benedictions. And those benedictions were, you know, that, you know, you can go and enjoy your kingdom that I will bestow on you. But at some point in time, and he also gave them bhakti simultaneously. And he told them that at some point in time you will get so disgusted with the material opulence that you will give it away completely. And then, you know, take on bhakti fully, you know, full Krishna consciousness. So in this chapter, in chapter 31, we have been seeing that coming true. That foretelling of Lord Vishnu coming true in this chapter, when the Prachetas have renounced the kingdom, now gone to the forest and intensified their Krishna consciousness. Now in this particular text, what is happening is that Vidura is speaking, the final concluding verses. So what is Vidura speaking is quite interesting. Now we have to keep in mind that Vidura has been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Maitreya Muni for a long time. You know, a lot of discussions has been churned in this particular episode for the last, a chapter, a canto or two. A lot of, you know, interesting pastimes we have been hearing. So, and Maitreya Muni is Vidura's spiritual master because he is hearing Krishna Katha from him. So what does Vidura has to say in his concluding words is quite interesting. Now we see here that, you know, lessons for us to learn is what Vidura speaks and how he speaks. Now we all hear from our senior devotees, we hear from our spiritual masters, we hear from Srila Prabhupada, we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is a good lesson for us to inculcate that attitude of gratitude. When we hear Krishna Katha from somebody senior to us, and Vidura quite expertly articulates how to show that attitude of gratitude. So what does he say? Now let's break it down. Vidura Uvacha. So yam adya mahayogin. So what are his first words? Remember, Maitreya Muni has been speaking so far. So now Vidura speaks. So when he speaks, when a proper devotee speaks in front of his senior, how does he address? How does he start the address? So yeah, so yam adya mahayogin. Firstly, he addresses him as mahayogin, as mahayoga, as great devotee. So what do we learn? We learn that it is important for us to glorify our seniors, glorify our spiritual master. We should glorify our seniors, and certainly we should always glorify our spiritual master. So Vidura is glorifying the spiritual master by saying, so yam adya mahayogin. Not just, any devotee, but a great devotee. And then, bhavata karuna atmana. So, he is bhavata karuna. Bhavata means, in Sanskrit, aham means I, and tvam means you. But when we say bhavan, that means you as well, but in a more glorious way. So for example, we may say that this is his car, or this is his grace's car. So when we say His Grace, it becomes more majestic. Oh, hey, majestic. Oh, majesty. Like that. So it becomes more glorious and more respectful. So Vidura is not only calling Maitreya Muni you, tvam, but bhavan. More respectful, bhavam. And karuna atmana. Karuna means very merciful. Atmana. He is the soul that's very merciful. Now, why very merciful? Because, pure devotees, and for that matter, Lord as well, Krishna, they don't have to do anything and they don't do anything out of any obligations, out of any requirements, out of any karmic reactions. They do things that is purely their causeless mercy. There is no cause of their action. They don't have to do any action, but they do action because it is their causeless mercy to go and benefit, some jiva somewhere. Pretty much always, they act on a preaching mission, on devotional service. And we see this in the, of course, in the case of Srila Prabhupada.
He had no need to go to the west because he was quite self-satisfied and pure devotee in Vrindavan only. But he goes to the west because of his causeless mercy, following the orders of his spiritual master, causeless mercy. So here, what does Vidura say? You know, that Mahayogin, you are a great devotee, you are Bhavata, you are very respectful, and you are Karuna Atmana. You are, because of your causeless mercy, you have given me something. What have you given me? Then the third line, Darsitas Tamasaha Paro. Darsitas means, you know, Darshan. No, you have given me the Darshan. You have given me the enlightenment. Enlightenment of what? Two things. Tamasaha Paro he uses. Now Tamasa we know is the mode of ignorance, and Paro means the other side of mode of ignorance. You know, the Paraha. So then, what is the other side of mode of ignorance? It is mode of pure goodness. The transcendental realm. So here, he has been given the light, the pathway of the other side of darkness, the transcendental realm. And then, yatra kinchana gohari. Now, yatra kinchana is, when I was saying, you know, at the beginning, that Lord Vishnu had given them the benediction that you will enjoy the material opulence, and then give it up. Once you become disgusted with it, and then intensify your Krishna consciousness. So here Vidura is saying, yatra kinchana. Akinchana means what? No, niskinchana. Akinchana means, Prabhupada defines akinchana, which we know, but let's just read Prabhupada's definition from the previous verse. Yesterday Jasachi Prabhu was explaining us. I'll just find the definition, just bear with me. Yeah, in the last purport, Prabhupada writes, one who has nothing to do with the material world is called Niskinchana. So here, Vidura is telling that, you know, the prachetas, and for that matter, you know, anybody that Narad Muni has been elevating in the previous cantos, yat kinchana, yatra kinchana, that they have become akinchana, they have become disgusted with material attachment, and then go hari. Why does Vidura use hari and not, you know, any other address of the Lord? Is because the definition of hari is, you know, the Lord that takes away something from us. And what does the Lord take away from us? The Lord takes, as Prabhupada explains, any impediments that comes on our path of devotional service. And that can be material attachment. That will be material attachments by default. And then he can make us akinchana. So yatra akinchana go hari. The Lord will come and take away our material attachments and make us devotees. So with that definition, let's read the translation again. Sri Vidura said, O mystic yogi, O great mystic, O greatest of all devotees, by your causeless mercy, I have been shown the path of liberation from the world of darkness. By following this path, a person liberated from the material world can return home back to Godhead. So, what we see in this translation and also in Prabhupada's purports, and for that matter, in a lot of episodes that has been unfolding in the recent stories of Srimad Bhagavatam, is two things. Firstly, the power of Maya, and as well as the power of Krishna. Two very, very important things. Yeah, the power of Maya as well as the power of Krishna. So let's talk about power of Maya first before we talk about Maya of Krishna. Power of Maya is something that we don't actually have to understand so much from hearing other pastimes or hearing others' events or, you know, hearing theoretical stories anywhere. Why? Because we ourselves are victims. Having been there, we know what the power of Maya is. Having said that, you know, ourselves being victim as well, there are so many pastimes in the Bhagavatam, in the Puranas, in our Itihasas, that bring out, you know, the potency of Maya Devi, how powerful she is. And we know that Maya Devi, you know, she can engulf anyone, no matter at what age, what race, what place, what time, if we are casual. Now, there are also instances in Srimad Bhagavatam where we see that sometimes the casualties are not necessarily those souls who were wholeheartedly trying to embrace her. For example, in the pastime of Ajamil, Ajamil in his lifetime till the time he saw, you know, the prostitute embracing somebody else. He was a very fine Brahmana, very, very civilized, fine Brahmana, who would go on carrying out his sadhana on a daily basis in a very disciplined and dedicated and devotional way. But just seeing some episode in front of his eyes, he lost his stamina to stay strong in Krishna consciousness, and subtly and gradually, he became deluded. So here we see somebody who was actually not going around, looking for something materially to be attached to. It was just almost like a sidetrack, He became victim of an unforeseen sidetrack event that happened in his life. But such is the power of Maya that she can engulf the consciousness or dilute or pollute the consciousness of somebody, even if he's slightly casual. Slight casual can lead to big casualty. On the other hand, if we contrast, if you look at the other pastimes, let's look at the pastime of, let's say, Ravan. Ravan is not someone who had sidetracked. Ravan was somebody who was, wholeheartedly trying to embrace Maya, material attachments. And then we know his consequences. To the point that actually in the Valmiki Ramayana, when Ravana kidnaps Mother Sita, Valmiki explains that what Ravana was kidnapping is Maya. Now that's a very interesting point. Because, how can Sita Devi be Maya? She is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how can she be Maya? So Valmiki Muni explains that Maya is, it's the perception of the beholder, rather than, the subject itself. So here, Mother Sita was actually Maya Devi for Ravan himself, because he was seeing Maya Devi in isolation with Lord Ram and trying to enjoy her. So that became Maya to him. Whereas for us, Maya Devi is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So many examples. Now, if you look at the example of Duryodhan or the whole Kauravas, they were not so much attached to the opposite sex. You will not see that Duryodhana was attracted, with sexual mindset towards Draupadi. If anything, he actually hated Draupadi. He wanted to kill her, and get rid of the whole Pandavas, including Kunti Devi and Draupadi. So he was more attached to the material wealth rather than, and the opposite sex. They wanted the kingdom at any cost. But that is also material attachment. And then we know their consequences as well. So many pastimes of people who have succumbed to Maya because of pressure of the opposite sex, because of the pressure of material opulence, because of the material wealth, or beauty, or education, or leadership, or prestige, something or the other that just attracts them. And before they know, they have gone down so much into the into the deep well that they think that is normal. So that's the attraction of Maya. Now Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, in one verse he summarizes the power of Maya. Devi hesha gunamai mama maya durataya mam eva ye prapadyante maya netan tarantite. So let's look at the first two lines for now, when we are analyzing the power of Maya. Devi hesha gunamai. So Krishna says that this Maya Devi is Devi. It is divine. Not some ordinary energy, but this is energy of Krishna. And it is divine. So anything that is divine has got to be very powerful. So Devi Hesha Gunamai. And she is Gunamai. She is made up of the three modes of material nature. Mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Like Radharani is called Krishnamai. That means she is just made up of Krishna. Everything about her is Krishna. There is nothing else. Full, saturated, condensed Krishna that she is. So Maya Devi is Gunamai, full, concentrated, saturated three modes of material nature. That's Krishna's energy. So Devi Hesha Gunamai, Mama Maya, and this Maya Devi is mine. So she is mine energy, therefore she is quite important and quite strong, very powerful. Mama Maya Durataya. Now Durataya is interesting because Krishna admits or Krishna explains to us that Maya Devi is strong. Now if we if we are battling to come out of the grip of Maya Devi, we can at least take solace that Krishna tells us that this is very, very strong. My energy is very strong. Like how Arjuna tells Krishna that controlling the mind is very difficult task to me, Krishna. It seems like, you know, it's task that is mission impossible. Krishna admits. Then Krishna admits that, yes, Arjuna, I agree with what you are saying. But having said that, it is possible through practice and detachment. So here, similarly, Krishna says that Maya Devi is very strong. No? I admit it's very strong. My energy is very strong. But then there is a solution as well. So that's Maya Devi's potency, the power of Maya Devi. Now our predicament is what? We are playing this battle of trying to get out of her grip in her home ground. Because we are in the material world and she is Gunamayi. No? So she has got that home ground advantage, as they say in sports, no? An upper hand. So our battle becomes even more challenging. Firstly, our opponent is very strong, and secondly, it is their home ground. Just like, you know, when Kamsa was trying to get Krishna killed, you know, he would send all these asuras, all these demons to Vrindavan, you know, so that Krishna and Balaram can be killed. Many, many demons. And Krishna would just think that these are some toys, you know, that my mama, you know, my uncle has sent, and playfully just break them up, you know. As kids, you know, sometimes, you know, they play with the toys and they just playfully break them up. So Krishna would say, these are all gifts from my uncle, and just playfully, you know, tear them up and throw them apart, break them into pieces. So that's what Krishna was doing. So then Kamsa thought that maybe the reason Krishna is winning is not because he's so powerful, but because he's playing in his home ground. No? Vrindavan is his home ground, no? Home ground advantage. He knows the playing conditions. Let him get out of Vrindavan, bring him to my home ground in Mathura, and then let's have a battle of wrestle to see who is more powerful. So here, no, so that's why Krishna was then asked to come to, by Uddhava brought him to Mathura. So here we are playing Maya Devi, you know, in her territory where, you know, where she has got some advantage over us. But and also she's got very, you know, strong, and she's got a very strong track record of winning. Actually, there is absolutely no instance at all that has won against her unless that soul had Krishna on his or her side. Absolutely nobody who can win against Maya Devi's strong force unless and until that soul gets Krishna or the spiritual master on their side. Otherwise, just not even possible. Absolute, no, 100% track record of winning against those who have gone against Krishna. So such is the power of Maya. And she... Let's keep going about the power of Maya. Yeah? And she is so expert that she has got this microscopic view of identifying the minute of material desires that any jiva has. So firstly, she identifies the minute microscopic attachment that a jiva may have, and then magnify that attachment or that desire so much that eventually our consciousness gets polluted and we succumb to her pressure. Sounds familiar? Sounds familiar? Yes, all of us are smiling. She can minutely identify our material desires, magnify it to the point that we finally succumb to her forces and then turn away from Krishna. That's her power. Now, very interestingly though, that is not her primary role. Although she expertly does her role of trying to magnify our material attachments and keep us bound in her clutches, that is not her primary role. What is her primary role? Maya Devi's primary role is to demonstrate to us what is the dreadful consequence of us turning away from Krishna. That is her role. To demonstrate to us that what is the dreadful consequence if we turn our eyes away from Krishna? If our desires are not Krishna consciousness, what will be the consequence? But we are so much rascals, Prabhupada said, that even after her demonstrating to us with her relentless pressure of beating us and beating us and beating us, we are like fourth class intelligence. We still don't understand that we are playing in her territory. She is very powerful. She has got absolute brilliant track record of winning. And we have got no chance of winning over her. But we still think that we will get happier in this material world. No, that is our predicament. That is our terrible situation in the material world. Yeah. So there is the power of Maya Devi that we have to be very, very careful. Prabhupada warned us that my devotees are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. That was his statements to the Westerners devotees at that point in time, that my devotees are not sufficiently afraid of the influence of Maya. So what is the power of Krishna? If Maya Devi is so powerful, then let's look at part B. Now, what is the power of Krishna? So Devi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durataya, we analyzed all that. Then Mameva Ya Prapadyante. Krishna says that those who surrender unto me, then what happens? Maya Netan Tarantite. This Maya Devi, we can tarantite. Now we can get liberated from her clutches very easily. Now such beautiful contrast that Krishna makes in one verse, yeah? That the power of Maya is very strong. But if you surrender unto me, then Acharya has explained that power reduces, to like, that ocean of misery reduces to like the water body in the calf's hoof print. That's imagine, something so big can be shrunk to so small just by having Krishna on our side as well, as our team player, or as our coach, or as our leader, or as our captain. That's how easy it becomes, yeah? That's the power of Krishna. Maya Netan Tarantite. Acharyas give, I think I was hearing Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. He was giving the example of, like a fierce dog. When you visit a house of someone, some very wealthy, they will have a dog as their watchdog, as their guard. Not in Australia, we are not used to this. In Australia, the dogs will be very, very cute and sweet, and they don't bark actually. Yeah? We will not hear dogs barking in Australia. Do we? Not much, just once in a while. But the fierce dogs, those gruesome ones, that are kept as security guards in the house of the wealthy, rich mercantiles, they will bark. If you go to the gate of a big mercantile, the dogs will come running towards you, and you just hope that the gates are locked. Otherwise, they will grip into you and get in their clutches. Just as Maya Devi gets us in her clutches, the dogs will jump and probably try to get your neck or something. They will be very, very strong, and they will bark and bark and bark until you move. If you stand in front of the gate, they will continue to bark at you, and very, very fierce, very, very fierce, that you will shake. It's not easy, scary situation. But what happens, when you press the bell and the master of the dog comes out, the owner of the house comes out, and when the dog sees the owner, when the dog watches the owner very carefully, the dog watches us because we are at the gate, and when the owner comes and taps the dog to say, now you become pacified, don't stop barking now, stop barking, and then he opens the gate and lets us in, what does the dog do now? The dog doesn't bark anymore. The owner is still there, the dog doesn't bark. If anything, the dog will come and sniff at your feet, and then just memorize that smell, absorb it, and then know immediately that this person who has come to this house is not an enemy of my master, but a friend of my master. That's why my master is letting him in, and therefore I'm not going to bark at him anymore. So what has happened? The dog has the same dog. Now we are the same visitors. The owner is the same. But just the dog was barking when the owner was not present, seeing that this person could be an enemy to my owner. But the moment the owner comes and tells the dog, no, you become quiet because this is my guest, and I know him, so he's fine. Let him in. The dog stops barking. So Maya Devi is like that force, which will beat us and bark at us, and terrorize us if we are alone. The moment we see, oh, by the way, this soul is actually surrendered to Krishna, Mamevaya Prapadyante, then she starts doing anything to us at all. She'll just leave us behind. And if anything, she will actually assist us in our progress to Krishna consciousness. To say, okay, this soul is a servant of my master, and therefore, I'm going to assist him in all the ways, assist her in all the ways, so that they can progress closer and closer to my master. And that is why Vidura in this verse mentions that Yatra kinchana go hari. Again, the word used of the word hari very expertly. That the master will come to us, because we are Jivarasa Rupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. If we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will take away all the impediments, including Maya Devi, and all her relentless pressure on us, take it completely away, so that we can become Krishna consciousness. So that's the power of Maya Devi, and that's the power of Krishna. So how do we bridge, from the power of Maya Devi to power of Krishna? Then Prabhupada writes, and Vidura also says, if you read the part of the translation again, Vidura says, I have been shown the path of liberation. Path of liberation means what? Path of liberation means getting away from the power of Maya Devi, from this world of darkness, which is Maya Devi's territory. By following this path, a person liberated from the material world can return home back to Godhead. So what is that path? Prabhupada explains in the Purport, or Prabhupada alludes to it, that the material world is called tamaha, dark, and the spiritual world is called light. That is, tamsama jyotirgamya, get away from the darkness, go into the enlightenment. So how do we do that? Now, ignorance is something at the modern times that is actually covered in the guise of sophistication. If you think of it, the material advancement, the advancement in technology, the advancement in lot of things is actually called advancement. But we know from our Vedic scriptures that yes, they are advancement, but they are material advancements, Whether, we are materially impoverished or we are materially advanced, it is still material is the point. So if you think of it, the current situation is a very sophisticated guise of ignorance. The urbanization, the modernization, everything is, a very, very sophisticated guise of ignorance at the end of the day. Prabhupada said, whether we are a Kheera chore or we are a Heera chore, we are both chores. What does that mean in English? That if we steal a cucumber or we steal, diamond, we are still thieves. One is a small thief, one is a big thief. So here, it's the magnified ignorance, if you like. It's still ignorance. And the event of coronavirus has actually brought it to our eyes, the fruitility of the material advancement. Something as big as an aeroplane that disappears in a sea, an aeroplane is pretty big, we can't find it. With all our technological advancement, we can't find something that's so big, And something so minute as a coronavirus, we can't deal with it, Just totally holds, all progress globally. So what does this tell us? This tells us that our advancement is so powerfully powerless. So powerfully powerless, because we can't deal with anything that is thrown at us. So this is Maya Devi's retaliation when the ignorance is heightened and heightened. This is her way of retaliating and demonstrating to us that this is the dreadful consequence of going away from Krishna. But one who becomes akinchana, yattara akinchana gohari, one who becomes materially disgusted with material, one who becomes sufficiently disgusted with material attachments can start understanding, that this Maya Devi, is there to beat us up, to remind us to go to Krishna. Kunti Maharani also, in her famous Kunti Maharani prayers in Canto 1, Chapter 8, says the same thing. How does that verse start? How does the first line start? Janma Aishwarya Sutra Sri Bhirna. So Janma Aishwarya. So one who has got very opulent Janma, very proud of his birth, or proud of his Aishwarya, or proud of his wealth, proud of his education, proud of his beauty. These things, once we are afflicted and intoxicated and infatuated with it, it will be an impediment on our Krishna consciousness. But one who is sufficiently disgusted with this, she says, akinchana gocharam. Here it's akinchana gohari, there it is akinchana gocharam. So once who is sufficiently disgusted with material attachments can advance to Krishna consciousness with feelings of love towards the Lord. Now I'll conclude with this particular verse, because I'm recently studying this as part of my Bhakti Vaibhav study, in Canto 2, Chapter 8. When Parikshit Maharaj opens up chapter 8, inquiring from Sukhdev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj says that, please tell me more Krishna Katha. Why? Because Krishna Katha is very enlivening. I want to hear more and more. And when one hears Krishna Katha, Parikshit Maharaj says that Krishna enters the heart of that jiva through the ear. So imagine, you know, through Krishna Naam, through Krishna Katha, you know, Krishna enters our heart. Now, so what's the big deal if Krishna enters our heart? Krishna is already sitting in our heart as Paramatma. So what's the big deal if Krishna enters? Then Parikshit Maharaj explains that Paramatma, you know, in our heart is a neutral supervisory role he's playing. But Krishna has got, you know, when Krishna enters, then he reawakens our bhava, you know, of whatever, you know, unique relationship that we have with Krishna in the loving service, that gets reawakened. And Krishna, so that's the difference, you know, because the Parikshit Maharaj explains that and Srila Prabhupada also writes in the Purport, that the other yogic process, such as Ashtanga Yoga, etc., actually also cleanses our heart. The Ashtanga Yogis go to Brahma Jyoti only because, you know, they have fully cleansed their heart of material attachments. Otherwise, even going to Brahma Jyoti is not possible. But the difference between the cleansing of the other yogic process and Bhakti Yoga is that in Bhakti Yoga there is the reawakening of Krishna consciousness. Whereas in Adha it is just dry, you know, there is prem, there is bhava. So Parikshit Maharaj explains that the bhava is developed. And how is this bhava developed? Then I'll quote that verse and then, you know, we'll discuss that verse and then I'll stop there. Parikshit Maharaj says, this is in Canto 2, Chapter 8, Text 5. I'm trying to memorize this verse which I have not been able to do yet, so I'll read it out. Parikshit Maharaj says that, Pravishta Karana Randrena. Pravishta means to enter, Karana Randrena means ear. So when the nectar of the holy name of the Lord, or when the Krishna Katha enters our ears, then what happens? Swanam Bhava Saroruham. Mataji, you are trying to look at your gadget, so I'll tell you, it's 2.8.5, yeah? So Savanam Bhava Saroruham. Now, Savanam means, you know, and Bhava. So Bhava means, that I was telling about, the difference Parikshit Maharaj says between this Bhakti Yoga and other yogic process is there is the re-enlivening of our Bhava, or our relationship with Krishna. So, and that Swa Bhava. Swa means your own. Yeah? So, Savanam Bhava Saroruham. And then, interestingly, Dhunoti Samalam Krishna. Krishna, when he enters our ears and enters our heart, what does he do? Krishna, who is the master of all opulence and, you know, he is the greatest personality and everything else, actually does the job of cleaning. Can you believe it? This is our sweet Lord. He cleanses our heart. And what does he cleanse our heart of? Samalam. Malam means, you know, maila, dirt. Krishna's dhunoti samalam. He cleanses our heart of the dirt. Why? Because when Krishna enters the heart, he sees, oh my God, you know, this heart is so dirty. He is hearing Krishna Katha and he is hearing my holy name. So I will enter his heart. And when he enters the heart, he looks for the Vyasasan, you know, where he can sit. And he says, oh my God, look at this Vyasasan, so full of dust. You know, there is lust, there is anger, there is greed, there is envy, there is everything sitting here on his heart, on this jiva's heart. Where do I sit? So he starts cleansing the heart. No, Samalam, Krishna. Dhunoti Samalam Krishna. Krishna doesn't ask, you know, gym's cleaning or somebody to clean our heart. No, personally he starts cleaning our heart. This is the sweetness of our Lord. Salilasya yatha sarat. No, Prabhupada explains that salilasya is now like the reservoir of water, like the rivers, you know, and other reservoir of water that get very muddy. It gets very muddy when there is no heavy rainfall. But when the rain falls in autumn, then that rain actually, you know, cleans the muddy water and makes it very fresh looking again. So the holy name of the Lord or the Krishna Katha is like that autumnal rain, Prabhupada explains, that cleanses the muddy water of our heart and makes it pristine and, you know, pristine again, so that we can become Krishna consciousness. So therefore, in summary, Mayadevi is very powerful. Krishna is yet even more powerful because Mayadevi is an energy of Krishna. So if one energy of Krishna can be powerful, just imagine how powerful Krishna is. So thankfully in Bhakti Yoga, you know, we are told that we don't have to be so worried about, let me say this carefully, we don't have to be so worried about, you know, focusing on our material detachments. More so we should be focusing on our spiritual attachments. Once we attach ourselves to Krishna, the detachment from Maya happens automatically. You know? We just have to attach to Krishna. So when we have, you know, for the bad habits that we may be struggling with, you know, we don't have to so much worry about giving up the bad habits. But what we have to do is develop good habits, you know, that itself will kill the bad habits. But the development of the good habits, the bad habits will naturally go away. Param drishtavani vartate. Just by developing the higher taste in Krishna consciousness, the lower taste, which are dangled to us in front of us by Maya Devi, will eventually become tasteless. And we definitely have got these experiences as well. As much as we have got experiences of being beaten by Maya Devi again and again, we also have the experiences of many, many tastes that we were so addicted to in the past, which gradually have become tasteless, you know, such as meat eating, intoxication, definitely tasteless, you know. But there are other anarthas that we may be struggling with. So that is when we take, you know, shelter of Krishna, and those desires will naturally go away. Akinchana gocharam, and we become fully Krishna consciousness. I will stop here. If there are any corrections or no questions or comments, no, we've got a few minutes. No?
So here, consciousness is something not is given without the, any special...
You need to use the mic. Please.
Thank you.
Now, there is a, spiritual master, anyone blessing is one. Other is the godless mercy. So blessing often requires us to do something, some effort or, seek, request for a blessing. Whereas godless mercy is something only by their own will. We don't have to request or we don't have to do anything special.
Yeah. So is that a comment or a question?
I mean, so that is why he's referring to godless mercy, that Maitreya Muni has, he has shown his mercy or a blessing without any explicit request from Vidura.
Correct. So that's a comment, yeah? Yeah. No, good comment. Good observation. Thank you for that. Already, we'll stop here. Granth Rashi Mad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.